بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And welcome to the special interview with a nutrition coach. Today we have Sister Noor Zibda. She has a background in bachelor's and master's in degrees in nutrition. She's a registered dietitian and she did a year-long training and passed the national exam on nutrition. She offers medical nutrition therapy counseling, food sensitivity programs and weight loss coaching. Sister Noor, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for coming on this call. I want to first ask you the big question everyone has in their mind. What sort of food will boost our productivity? What sort of food will give us that energy we need to be productive?
Yes. If you go read articles online, you're going to find tons of articles that say, 10 foods to boost your metabolism, 15, even 50. And really, when they put these foods out, there are three main concepts when you think of these foods. They provide nutrient, they're nutrient dense. It's really about balancing your meals so that you have protein and carbohydrate, a good balance. And the third concept is these foods have healthy fats.
So what would be, so it's a nutrient dense. Now, give me an example of a meal that's nutrient dense.
Okay. Well, nutrient dense is really something that's going to give you vitamins and minerals and healthy essential fatty acids. So if you think of a burger and fries, it's going to give you fats, but they're not the healthy ones. They have calories in terms of protein and carbohydrate and fat, but they do not have vitamins or minerals. And your body really needs those vitamins and minerals to extract the energy, to unlock the energy. So this is what we mean by nutrient dense.
So is there an example of a meal like that?
Yes, absolutely. So a nutrient dense meal would be something like a salad that has greens and a piece of lean chicken, and then having some beans on top to give healthy carbohydrates. Another example could be with a piece of fish, or it could be some brown rice with lean beef, or shrimp or chicken with steamed vegetables such as Brussels sprouts, broccoli, salads, carrots. So if you think, I'm saying vegetables, I'm putting the vegetables in there. There are beans in there. Nuts and seeds are excellent. So whether you put them on top of your salad or even, for breakfast or for a snack, they have important minerals that we need for the body that needs to process this energy.
Which seed is that? Source it again.
All kinds of seeds. So Okay. Yeah, like sesame seeds, tahini sauce, and then, sunflower seeds, chia and hemp seeds. These are also sort of new in the health and nutrition world. But almonds, cashews, walnuts, pine nuts, all the nuts that are available, they're all healthy for you.
Brilliant. So you mentioned is that we should try to add some nuts to a balanced diet where there is some vegetables and some protein. Am I getting that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Brilliant. The second concept you mentioned is that we need to balance our proteins and carbs. How do you do that?
Okay, so I will try to do my best to explain this without getting too technical. So, protein, when it's broken up, it's made of amino acids. Most people are familiar with amino acids. And then there are two important amino acids that make what we call... I'm just going to throw one term at you, like neurotransmitters. So some of them make us alert and some of them make us calm and happy. So when you eat a piece of protein, then, all proteins provide these two amino acids that do both ends. But when you have a piece of chicken or beans that have protein in them or fish, then the amino acid that makes your body alert, that eventually leads to the neurotransmitter that makes you alert and awake, goes to the brain, and it's being processed, so you stay up, you're fresh. Then when you eat a carbohydrate, what happens is that the amino acid that makes the neurotransmitter that makes you calm is what goes to the brain first, and that makes you calm and relaxed. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we eat a piece of carbohydrate, a piece of bread or cookie, we tend to calm down if you're stressed out. So one thing I tell people to balance your carbohydrate and protein, if you feel like the problem is after lunch, and a lot of people after lunch, they feel sluggish, I challenge them to give it a try to do a lunch that doesn't have any carbohydrate to promote your brain to make the neurotransmitter that makes you alert. So that could be a piece of chicken, you know, any kind of protein that we talked about, chicken, fish, you know, cheese, beans, or even eggs. Add that with lots of vegetables, maybe a small piece of fruit, just to kind of sweeten the meal, but try to avoid heavy carbohydrates and see if that actually helps you get over the afternoon crash.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant advice there. So you said three main aspects. First one, for food giving us energy. The first one is nutrient dense. Second, you said balance the proteins and carbs. If you want to be more alert, then sort of try to go for protein mainly and try to avoid carbs. But what's the third concept you mentioned?
Yeah, so I wouldn't necessarily completely avoid carb, just keep it less, and then maybe have the carbohydrate as the afternoon snack. So when you're getting ready to go home and it's stressful, it kind of helps you to calm down.
Brilliant.
So if you want me to go repeat them, it's eating nutrient dense, choosing the healthy fats, which we talked about are the nuts, olive oil, also avocado, and fatty fish, and then balanced protein and carbohydrate.
Brilliant, brilliant. So again, there's another question people ask, well, should you have a heavy lunch? Should you have a heavy breakfast? You know, how much portions should you have during the day in terms of meals? Some people say you should have 5 meals a day, but small portions. Some people say have a massive breakfast and sort of reduce as you go along the day. How do you balance your portions during the day to stay, to stay productive throughout the day?
Okay. You know, each person is unique and we all burn different levels of calories a day. So, you know, think of two cars. You have a Mini and then you have, let's say, a Hummer. These two different cars are going to burn different amount of fuel. So similar for people. People have different needs. People who have more muscle are going to need more calories and more energy. Women need less energy than men, and that's mainly because women, that's the way we were born. We have more fat tissue so we can support childbirth, subhanAllah. People who move more often, they're going to need more energy. Younger people need more energy. So it's very difficult, and I know it's kind of like the media likes to say, oh, eat 4 calories, 100 calories for lunch. It may work for some people, but it might be not enough for others. So what I like to help when people come to me, I help them emphasize, I help them listen to their body, listen to their hunger cues, and then decide on your own when it's enough to stop. So I use a 3-to-7 rule. If you rank your hunger from 1 to 10, 1 being ravenously hungry and 10 being uncomfortable, painful, you need to like, you can't move, and 5 is neutral. So you have 1 to 10. You want to start eating when you're at 3 and stop at 7. So you're not extremely hungry when you start, but you're not extremely full when you end.
Mm-hmm. And this, of course, reminds of the hadith, نَحْنُ قَوْمُ لَا نَأْكُلْ حَتَّى نَجُوعَ وَإِذَا كَانَ نَشْبَعَ. This, we are people who, we do not eat until we are hungry, and when we eat, we're not full. That's brilliant. I mean, subhanAllah. Now, I want to ask you more about these sort of healthy portions according to the what, you know, she said, listen to your body. Sometimes, I mean, our bodies can be quite funny because either we have something's not hunger, something just we just crave something. So it's appetite more than hunger. So where do you draw the balance?
Yeah. So I here's the thing. Are we confusing our physical hunger with emotional hunger? Mm-hmm. So someone comes and tells me, well, I'm so craving carbs. I'm always craving, I want a cookie. I ask them, when was the last time you had a real meal when you sat down? And oftentimes people haven't had something, you know, since 4 hours ago. And I tell them, this is actually physical hunger. You need to eat, sit down, eat a balanced meal, protein, carbs, and fat. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody has like a sweet tooth and they really need to, you know, eat carbohydrates, you know, it could be a lot of things. You know, there are carbohydrate cravings. They do exist. Sometimes we're stressed out or we're, you know, we haven't slept enough and your body sort of needs that energy that needs kind of a pick me up. So sometimes you have to look at the bigger picture, what's going on. If this is a consistent problem, sometimes for some people we go cold turkey, completely remove sweets from the diet, and that works for some people. So sometimes they're thirsty, so it's really individual.
I like the concept of saying that sometimes you should, if you feel tired, a lot of times we don't realize that, you know, this the famous sort of concept, we are what we eat, in the sense that if you sort of wake up in the morning and just go to work and you just realize halfway through the morning that you're very tired, and wonder why. Probably it's not because he sleeps, probably he's probably missed breakfast, something like that. So, you know, that link between what we eat and the energy levels is quite crucial. And being able to tweak that energy level, to be able to tweak what you eat so that you maintain a certain energy level consistent throughout the day is where it's almost like a self-science. You said it right now, you said everyone is different. So you have to learn how your body reacts to different food that you eat. And then sometimes, I mean, is it true that if you want sort of sustained energy throughout the day, you should have lots of carb in the morning, for example, and then that sort of slowly burns through the day? Or what sort of, again, I'm trying to, you know, trying to, maybe the myths we hear from the news and from the media about, you know, have carbs because they burn energy slowly compared to the sugar, which gives you like a rush and then you just, you know, crash afterwards. So how does somebody, let's say, you know, he woke up in the morning, he had a breakfast, he didn't have breakfast, it's mid-morning, he's feeling tired, what should we do then?
Okay, that's definitely someone when you need to eat something in the morning. Oftentimes you hear you have to eat something within an hour of waking up. It doesn't really have to be an hour. Some people have, like, I can give you an example. You have working parents. If they eat at 6:30 in the morning when they wake up and they're trying to get the kids ready to school and work, they don't feel their meal. They just eat it, and then they realize 2 hours later, like, huh? When did I eat? What did I eat? I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. Those people are actually better off going to their offices, calming down, having a breakfast at office, in their office. So it's not necessarily 6:30, it's not 12:30 at noon, but it's kind of at 8 o'clock. So I do recommend something in the morning. Now, you brought up the thing, carbohydrates. I think in generally we eat a lot of carbohydrates. If you think there are in, you know, the breads and the pastas and in, there are healthier types of carbohydrates such as beans and fruits. So I am a proponent of balanced meals. So if you think of a breakfast, lunch, or dinner plate, half of it should be your vegetables. So I don't care what it is. It has to be vegetable salads or, you know, cucumber sticks or tomato sticks, celery, whatever is available, or even cooked. And then 1/4 could be your carbohydrates. So that's rice, bread, beans also fit in the carbohydrate, or protein, potatoes, lentils, and then the last 1/4 would be your lean protein, which can be animal-based or could also be your lentils and beans. So really that's how you want to balance your meals. So balance breakfast, balance dinner, and then lunch for some people, maybe they could give, you know, carbohydrate-free lunch and then have a carbohydrate later in the snack, a healthy one, such as fruit.
Yeah, let's sort of try be practical for our audience, because you know, no one really tracks the nutrition, right? You just wake up and you just grab what's available. You just, you know, prepare what's there. And we don't really think about nutrition in terms of, like, you know, proteins and carbs and sugar and vegetables. So how can we develop almost like a habit so that we can consciously develop our nutrition? Just so that we can bring up this conscious. I don't want it to be, if, you know, if it's something you have to think about every day, you might say, it's too much work, I can't be bothered to think, I've got too many things in my mind. The last thing I need to think about is, you know, balancing how many calories or how many carbs I'm having in the day. So how can I build a habit, you know, so that I make sure that I, in a way, maybe perhaps in an easy way, balance my diet without really thinking about it that much?
Okay, well, you actually bring a good question, and I may actually ask you that question back. When you're helping someone, let's say, develop certain habits to be more productive, how long do you think it takes them to make that habit or that
stick? It takes about 21 days, 3 weeks to 4 weeks at least.
Absolutely. So the same thing with food. We're sort of trying to do everything, and we push our health and food to the side. But guess what? Most of us, you know, those of us who are young, we are able to overcome this. But when we age, our bodies are not functioning as they are right now. So we're going to suffer, and our productivity will, you know, decrease in time. So people have to give it, you know, time for the habit to stick in. It has to be a priority, and eating healthy can fit in your work schedule, because, you know, if you care about work, then you care about your health. If you care about your deen and religion, you care about your health because it's part of the sunnah. If you care about your family, then you want to be healthy to be there for them. Health should not be, it is related to all aspects of our life. So you said 3 weeks. So I tell people you need to plan. maybe give yourself, you know, a day, couple hours to think of how can you make those habits stick. So think of your house, your kitchen, your pantry is your own grocery shop. So you have to actually go buy healthy foods, make them available, and get rid of the junk in your kitchen. And then you have to learn a few basic skills. How to hard boil an egg. You know, you have to learn some of those skills. How to, you know, chop an onion, how to do simple things. It takes time, but, you know, those skills will be invaluable for your health. So just learning few skills. Online, there's huge information, like a huge amount of information online. So if you make it part of your habit, one simple thing could be, is it natural? Does your grandmother know this food? You know, our grandmothers do not know cereal bars, and they don't know, they didn't live with soda, they didn't live with muffins and all these things. It was kind of a sweet every now and then. But our grandmothers know real food. So it becomes a challenge. But we kind of have to make it a priority to fit it. Maybe suffer, I don't want to say suffer, but maybe learn, go through a learning curve the first 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and it does become habitual.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I definitely resonate with that, because sometimes, as I said, I went through a stint once where I really found it difficult to focus at work. And I realized it's because of the food I was eating, which is what's interrupting my focus. And just about changing nutrition and changing, you know, literally change the food I was having, and I was a different person at work. And that's when I realized the power of nutrition in terms of improving my focus, improving my energy, and basically boosting my productivity. So now the question people say, well, this comes up a lot, and this is maybe sometimes perhaps a bit philosophical, but in the sense that we live in an age of abundance, an age where we have lots of food, we have lots of choices, we have lots of nutrition's, you know, everywhere. Alhamdulillah, the supermarkets are available. You know, we want seasonal food, non-seasonal food, they're all there. But then when we sort of try to connect back to our sort of the history and the history, especially the seer of Prophet and how, you know, how the companions and the Prophet were so productive, yet if you look at, if you think about the nutrition, they didn't have much choice as much as we do. So it's interesting that how, you know, even though they didn't have the choices that we have today, but they achieve much more, they're much more productive compared to now. We have all the options in the world and we don't seem to be able to manage our nutrition for us to boost our energy. So the question I'm asking is, are we making the wrong choices on nutrition, or are we just overeating and that's what's slowing us down compared to, you know, the olden times perhaps?
Yeah. We are definitely overeating. There is a hadith. I don't remember the whole of hadith, but the point of it, that there will be a time when people eat. Maybe you can help me with that. Like there is a hadith that people eat to the point, you know, the kafirin, or I guess the meaning is that yes, we are overeating. And I can give you a little story about myself. I grew up in Jordan, where, you know, we did have some big grocery stores, but mainly limited options, a lot of homemade foods. Then I moved to the U.S. and I went to a store. I was like baffled. Like you have so many kinds of foods. Each food has a low carbohydrate variety, low fat variety, fortified. Even look at orange juice. There's not one kind of orange juice. So we are confused. And I think there's a lot of stress going on. I think we're focusing on health, which is excellent, but sometimes we're taking to the extreme that we're stressing out about our health, and that is affecting our health. You know what? I think it's you're absolutely right. They didn't eat as much, so we're overeating. But it's also like difficult to compare our time with their time. You know, they didn't have technologies. They weren't staying up till like 12 or 1 o'clock browsing the internet or watching TV. You know, a lot of things, you know, I wonder the quality of the air they were breathing as well. Their iman, like, you know, the iman back then, like, I strongly believe in that spiritual, like the religious
productivity, you know, too.
Mind, body, there is a link. So I feel like definitely eating less, better quality of food, but then also taking our minds from food and just, it's kind of you need a balance. Like you think about it, you're not obsessing about it.
True. Now, I guess well, the reason I brought up a point is to us to realize that sometimes, yes, nutrition, this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. You know, he gave us this food and the reason we created this food for us is to give us the energy so that we fulfill our ultimate purpose, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we have that intention with our food, if we have the intention, then you know we'll feel we won't eat junk food. If we realize that we're eating poison, I don't think that's the that's right. Allah's given this beautiful food, he gives a choice to choose which food we should take. And then for us to make the wrong choices is actually, not going to help us in the end, because we're going to be lethargic, we're going to be unhealthy and not fulfill our ultimate purpose. So nutrition is a blessing from Allah Ta'ala, and food is a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. It's for us to think about it in the sense of, is this food helping me fulfill my ultimate purpose? And when I do this exercise in my seminars, where I tell the attendees, just take a piece of apple or any food that's in front of you in any meal during the day, and really contemplate how that food got to you. From the seed till it grew, till the farm picked it up, till the transportation, till the packaging, till it got to the market, till you earned the money to go pick it up from this market, and then drove home, and then cut it up. As a subhanAllah, Allah brought this for you without really much effort. So without effort from your part. And really start you realizing that this is a spiritual thing. Sometimes we've disconnected nutrition from its source. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We sort of think it's something we pick up from the supermarket and that's it. I always joke that, guys, apples don't grow on supermarket shelves, or meat does not come nicely cut every day. There's an animal behind that, or there's a tree behind that. And that disconnection is needed from a spiritual. As Muslims, we should really be conscious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran talks a lot about food. It doesn't talk of food in the sense of go eat, but food in the sense of look at what I've created, look at how I've created this, and look how I've created that. And it's for us to really take that contemplation in mind. And whenever you have the contemplation, then you start become more conscious of your nutrition. You start become more conscious that I should be eating things which are healthy. I should be eating things which are, which are just beneficial for me. I can't just be eating everything. I can't be eating junk food, because this is just poisonous. There's no benefit of them. It's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it's not for me fulfilling the amana. Sorry, yeah. Transgressed there. I'm sure you've got
absolutely. I'm totally agreeing with you. I mean, our bodies are an amana. Like, you have to, take care of your body so that you can do the ibadah. And then, along the same lines, like, we focus on tahara, cleanliness in our religion, and clean food, going to clean bodies inside and outside. It's important from the inside as well. And so, yes, it's a big part of, it should be a part of our lives. And then not just the supermarket. I mean, you give great examples of supermarket. But like the animals, like the way we eat our beef, like we do care about being halal, but are we always thinking like how are we treating the cattle and the sheep and the chickens that are getting to our kitchens and being on our plates? So I mean that's a huge like topic in even the non-Muslim, but we as Muslims, we should
pioneers.
Go to the shop,
exactly.
And ask, what is being done to these cows? What are they eating? Are they being treated humanely? Because that's part of our deen as well.
Exactly. I met Brother Ibrahim Abdul Mateen, the author of Green Deen book. And he was talking about, just this halal industry. And he was saying about the importance of halal. It's not just, the meat and how it comes with how it's slaughtered, but just the whole concept, the whole ecosystem of the halal industry, whether the food is organic or organic, whether how it's processed, how make sure it doesn't affect the environment. And they said the Muslims, since we have the guidance, should be leaders in this field and not be sort of followers. I mean, again, this is a lot, but that's another topic. Let's sort of come back to our topic of nutrition and boosting our energy with food. What about caffeine? I mean, you probably saw a productive Muslim holding a hot mug there, so I won't let you tell. I won't tell you which hot drink is in there. But what sort of caffeine is caffeine good for you in general? Should you have caffeine, or should you just try to rely on on just having well-balanced meals throughout the day and not have caffeine?
Okay. So caffeine doesn't have energy. Caffeine stimulates your nervous system, so you're alert. So what it does, it makes your body think that you're in a fight or flight state, and I will not bring all the chemical terms, but your body thinks that it's in a fight or flight state. So imagine you're the in, you're ancient man and there's a bear in front of you and you have to run. That's what the caffeine does to you. So, your muscles tighten, your pupils dilate, your heart beats faster, there's sugar goes into your blood so you can use it. So that's why you have energy and you're alert. But, if you think of it, the ancient man was not supposed to be running away from the bear all day long. They ran away and then they were able to rest. So that's what caffeine does. It gives you a boost, but then you're supposed to slow down. And that's why some people have the up and down or like the crash after caffeine. So caffeine, think about it, it's a drug. So I approach it individually. My disclaimer, I love my morning cup of coffee, so I don't really ban it to everybody. Caffeine is found in coffee, tea, and dark chocolate. I tell people if you want to have caffeine, these options are your better ones. Coffee and tea, because dark chocolate still can add calories, which is not always, your go-to kind of caffeine. And then there are some studies linking coffee consumption with reduced risk of diabetes and Alzheimer's disease. So I don't, in my dictionary, it's not taboo, but it's the moderation. You don't want to depend on it, because the more you depend on it, the less of an effect it has on you. So you're going to want always more. So if you don't have any health conditions, caffeine is okay. But for some people, they really need to avoid it.
Brilliant. Okay, I'll let a little secret that, the Project Muslim guy, he's holding a cup of tea. I love tea, so I'm a tea person. So there you go. Okay, so now what about...
He still has caffeine. So yeah. For somebody, if you have high blood pressure, pregnant woman, or some people who have the jittery or anxiety, hyperactivity, migraines, they may have to scale back on caffeine and coffee. Mm-hmm. But, for the rest of us, a cup or two a day, that's okay.
But in terms of coffee, tea, I mean, people talk about drinking water a lot and say it's really good to boost your energy or just to maintain energy. How does hydration help?
Hydration is actually very important. And before you reach for a cup of coffee, people should probably try to drink water first. So here's what happens. Hydration and fatigue are related. And even mild dehydration can slow metabolism, slow energy level. And I actually found a study that found when people were mild dehydration, just a little bit, can cause headaches, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, more tension, less memory, and then difficulty with mental tasks. And the study even compared men and women, and it found that women had their perception of the task, that they felt that the task were more difficult than men. So for our female listeners who are dehydrated, make sure you are drinking water. And you shouldn't wait until you're thirsty, because when you feel the thirst, then your body is already dehydrated. So you want to drink throughout the day. When we age, we lose our thirst sensation. So also that's something to be mindful about. In the winter, people are more dehydrated. That's kind of seems weird, but because you are cold, you don't get very warm, people don't drink. So also the winter, making sure we're being hydrated. So before you go to the coffee station in your office, go to the water cooler, drink that cup of coffee, and then assess if you really need that caffeine or not.
Brilliant. I mean, how much water is that? So is that like what, a bottle? I mean, a liter bottle a day, or how does that, do you can you,
Okay, so there's 8 cups a day. There's also 9 cup recommendation. There isn't really there are some recommendations like 8 cups a day or 9 cups a day, but this wasn't really based on any scientific study.
Okay.
Again, back to that car example, each people need different amount of fluids. What I tell people to do is to actually track your urine color, which doesn't seem to be something people want to do, but if it's dark, then you need more water. If it's pale, you really want it to be pale and light. That means that you have enough water to dilute your urine. So
okay, excellent. And people say, well, in terms of, talk about minerals and vitamins, vitamins early on, supplements, good, bad, neutral.
Oh, okay, so I would say individual basis. We have to. It's very difficult for me giving an hour talk for, your huge audience. It cannot make one general recommendation. Just some things to keep in mind. You really want to be eating 5 cups of vegetables, of fruits that are a variety of colors, good amount, fatty fish twice a week, lean sources of protein, on all, to have that variety of diet to get the nutrients that you want. But we also know that we don't know the quality of soil that where the plants are growing, so we don't know if they are as nutritious as we think they are. When food is transported from one place to another, that takes a couple weeks to get here. We also don't know if there are any nutrient losses. So a lot of times having a multivitamin is good safety to make sure you're getting some sort of protection. But what happens is that, the world of supplements is huge. When you read a label, not all of them have what they advertise that they have. And sometimes that's when I actually do recommend people work with a dietitian or a physician to get tailored advice, because if they do have a deficiency, let's say magnesium deficiency can cause fatigue, a multivitamin is not going to be enough. They need a specific supplementation. Similar to vitamin D, it can also lead to, weakness and iron. But you never want to take a supplement on your own because, for example, too much iron can cause toxicity. Vitamin D, like an over-the-counter supplement, may not be enough if you're vitamin D deficient. So that's when getting tested. If you think you eat a variety of fruits and vegetables, you eat on a regular basis, you sleep well, you're hydrated, and if and nothing works and you're still tired, then the next step would be to check your vitamins and minerals and, get a lab test done.
Brilliant, brilliant. I think that's just really important to put that disclaimer in, guys. Please, please do not sort of base your lifestyle on what we say in this interview. Please do, if you have medical conditions or if you have, before you test a new diet or try out new diets, please do visit a physician or dietitian, so make sure that you get what's suitable for you. These are general advices we give here, and of course, you should. Each one has its. If you've got certain medical conditions, please do check with your physician. Sister Noor, I want to zoom into your own personal diet. If you can walk us through what you normally have in a typical day, so breakfast, lunch, dinner, just to out of interest.
Okay. Can I add one more thing back to
Sure.
the other than vitamins, there could be three things that, again, if you nothing works, there are three things that people should pay attention to. Getting their adrenals checked. Now we are learning a lot about a symptom called chronic fatigue, and it's I don't know how common it is, but if you think of people who are, trying to be productive, working, they're not sleeping enough because they want to get as many work hours, managing families and all of the stuff in their lives, we're finding that chronic fatigue is trickling. That's one thing. Thyroid function, and the only way to know is to go see a doctor and get your thyroid function tested. And then the last thing is food sensitivities could actually lead to some sort of chronic fatigue issues. So, if anybody thinks that they have this condition, feel free to share my contact and I can direct them for someone who can help them or just kind of to talk to a physician.
Brilliant.
Now you asked what I eat. All right, what do I eat? Usually my breakfast is I do have a small amount, like about, let's say, a third cup of oats, old-fashioned, that I soak with half a cup of milk, usually not a lot of milk, but then I get more of my carbohydrates from fruits. So just the oats are a little bit, but then I put usually berries or strawberries, sometimes bananas. I prefer berries usually, and if I don't have fresh, I put frozen. It's actually good. And then I put nuts. I really like chia seeds and walnuts in my breakfast and almonds. So I try, I can, no more than fourth of a cup total, just to make sure I'm not overdoing it. And I like to put a sprinkle of cinnamon, a nutmeg. That kind of gives it a nice taste. So that's kind of my breakfast. Sometimes a lunch could be each day different. I usually like to make a salad. I open a can of tuna. If I don't have, I put some beans on it. What else could be lunch? Sometimes if I have like leftover cooked food, Sometimes I make hard-boiled eggs, two eggs with a salad. So that could be lunch for me. And then sometimes when I want snacks, I like almond butter or peanut butter on fresh apples. Sometimes I do Greek yogurt that is plain without any sugar, and then I add my own fruits to it. So that's how I sweeten it. Or this is like some kind of snacks, my go-to snacks, or just a handful of nuts and two pieces of date, like two dates or three dates. That's a snack for me. Dinner is usually a variety. We like to eat fish in our house. We like salmon, but not every day. I do cook Middle Eastern foods, so anything like green beans and peas and the tomato sauce with rice on the side. I make brown rice. I don't bring the only kind of rice is brown rice, and I have whole wheat bread, if any, in my house. So it's kind of like following that plate method. Usually my cooked like yakhne, if you have any Arabs watching, like it's mostly vegetables, more vegetables than meat. My husband likes stir fries, so we do a lot of those. We put shrimp and then bell peppers and broccoli and onions. I do like kale a lot. So, and if people are interested, every now and then I do have a blog, and I would post like what a day worth of eating or what did I have that
Brilliant,
day, and I take
brilliant.
pictures, and
Awesome,
I
awesome.
share recipes. So if anybody's interested in, adding certain foods to their diets, please, I'm more than happy to see them taking ideas and leave
Brilliant.
comments too.
I mean, you just mentioned that whole day recipe, and my mouth is watering. So I guess that busts the myth that healthy food is boring food. I think if you've got the variety and if you're able to have access to the groceries and stuff, which I'm sure most of the listeners have, I think you can have a really, really good, healthy, and fun and enjoyable meals. Sister Noor, thank you very, very much for sharing your advice with us on nutrition. And for those of our listeners who would like to know more of Sister Noor or visit her blog or even ask her personally for advice, please visit her website, nourition.com. That is nourition.com. We'll put all of this in the post notes for this show. Jazakumullah khair, Sister Noor. Thank you very much. And inshallah, we'll speak to you soon. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
السلام عليكم.